I don't know how closely you were paying attention to the words of the opening hymn of today's Mass. But in the first two verses of that great hymn, three events are associated. Manifested by the star to the sages from afar. That, of course, would be a reference to the Magi coming, following the star, to the cradle of the Lord that we celebrate on the great feast of Epiphany a week ago today. Manifest at Jordan's stream, prophet, priest, and king supreme. That would be a reference to the Lord's baptism at the Jordan River that we celebrate today. This is the feast of the baptism of the Lord, last day of the Christmas season. And at Cana, wedding guest, in your Godhead, manifest. At Cana, of course, the Lord performed his first miracle, changing water into wine at the wedding feast that was held there. To associate the Epiphany, the baptism of the Lord, and the miracle at Cana is not just the product of the creativity of the author of this hymn. In fact, it is a very traditional association in our theology and in our liturgy. The common bond of those three events is the word that occurs so often in that opening hymn that we sang today, manifest. The Feast of the Epiphany is the great feast of the Lord's manifestation, his being made known to the Gentiles for the first time. The sages from the east, the Magi, representing the pagans who had lived in darkness until then. That was the great manifestation of the Lord to the world. But the tradition of the church also sees his baptism and the miracle at Cana, which occurred 30 years after the Epiphany, the Lord's infancy, as representing moments of manifestation where his true identity was revealed. In the wedding feast at Cana, the Lord's ability to change the natural substance of water into the greater substance of wine shows his lordship over the created world. And even more importantly, at his baptism at Cana, the Father and the Holy Spirit gave testimony to him, thereby manifesting, making known, opening to our understanding his true identity. As we heard at the end of the gospel today, a voice came from heaven. This is the voice of the Father, of course. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. His identity as the only begotten Son, capital S, of God the Father, begotten from all ages, is testified to by the voice of the Father. And his union with the Holy Spirit, again, which has existed from all eternity in the communion of the Holy Trinity, his union with the Holy Spirit, his identity as the one who comes to bring the Holy Spirit into the world is shown when that Holy Spirit appears visibly in the form of a dove, which is, of course, why the dove is frequently used in Christian art as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Today, on the feast of the Lord's baptism, we celebrate that manifestation of his identity as the Son of the Father and the bringer of the Holy Spirit, the sender of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which is made known to the world today. In the second reading of the Mass today, we hear a speech of St. Peter, as recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, in which he makes reference to the Lord's baptism and uses a particular image to describe the Lord's relationship to the Holy Spirit. You know what has happened all over Judea, Peter says, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Peter uses the image of the Lord Jesus being anointed with the Holy Spirit. Normally, the only thing you're anointed with is oil. Oil poured over a person or a thing was well known in the Old Testament as a sign of consecration to set that person or that object apart for divine service. Peter uses that image of Jesus being anointed with the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit poured over him, as a way to express the Lord's unity with the Holy Spirit, his bearing of the Holy Spirit. It's perhaps because of that that anointing is part of our sacrament of baptism. Back in Advent, when John the Baptist appeared in the readings, I talked at some length about the difference between John's baptism and the sacrament of baptism. But certainly the two are related. And so it's perhaps from these words of St. Peter in the Acts of the Apostles that we incorporate anointing into the ritual of baptism. If it is an infant being baptized, his or her whole head is slathered with our most important holy oil called chrism. Essentially olive oil, but with a beautiful fragrance added that comes from balsam wood. Parents often tell me that they love bringing the newly baptized child home from church because they smell so good. That aroma of the chrism stays with them for some time. In the lexicon of the church, we have an old phrase, the odor of sanctity. It is the fragrance of the Lord himself. He wants the sheep of his flock to smell like him, the good shepherd. You know, the sacraments always appeal to the senses. We can see, we can hear. We don't often think of the sense of smell. But I think of that today because of that image used by St. Peter and the use of anointing with chrism that is part of our sacrament of baptism. I was reminded that a few years ago when I was up at the annual assembly of priests in the fall by the Wisconsin Dells, that I came in to the room that was set up as a chapel. I came in there one day for Mass, and of course, all the priests were there to celebrate the Mass, so I had my alb on. And I sat down next to one of my brother priests, waiting for Mass to begin, and he leaned over to me and he said, "You smell like incense." It wasn't, of course, we use a fair amount of incense here, but actually the alb I took up there was the one from Holy Redeemer, where I wear when I celebrate benediction every week. So it gets well infused with the odor of sanctity. We do wash our albs once in a while, but you don't have to do it after every use. They last a good long time. So, yes, the sense of smell, the odor of sanctity. The Lord wants his sheep, the sheep of his flock, to smell like him, the good shepherd. And we are meant to go out into the world bearing that identity, giving off the aroma of the Good Shepherd. What would that look like in practical terms? Well, we might look at the first reading of the Mass today from the prophet Isaiah. There we hear a prophecy about the servant of the Lord who will come. Of course, as Christians, we see these words of Isaiah fulfilled in the life, work of the Lord Jesus. Isaiah the prophet says, speaking in the name of the Lord, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, upon whom I have put my spirit." And what does that servant who bears the Holy Spirit do? To skip to the end of the reading. To open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement and from the dungeon, those who live in darkness. So my proposal in this sermon is to say that if we want to go into the world bearing the fragrance of the Savior, bearing the odor of sanctity, we should go out as those whose eyes have been opened, who have been brought out from prison and confinement, and who have been freed from the dungeon and darkness. What does that mean? Well, to open the eyes of the blind. It's not unusual for people to walk around as if blind. For the word blind, substitute the synonym oblivious. To go through the world not seeing those around us, not seeing the truth of things, not seeing what is going on. You know, that's always been a problem, but it's uniquely a problem, I think, at the moment. You see some funny bits on television sometimes about people who are completely transfixed by their devices, especially at the dinner table. And they're seeing nothing that's going on, and they're paying absolutely no attention to their alleged loved ones who are around the table with them. That person is oblivious to those around them. People go through life oblivious to the effect that what they do has on others. So self-absorbed that it's only about what I want, what I want to do, and completely dismissing the effect that this has on others around them. Oblivious as to the truth of things, oblivious as to what, where my choices are leading, how slippery is that path on which I'm walking. So to go in the world as a disciple of the Lord, bearing his aroma, is to go into the world with one's eyes opened to others who are around us, to their presence, to the effect that I have on them, to the crosses that they bear, to get out of my self-absorption and to grow in the virtue of Christian charity. In that prophecy, we also hear to bring out prisoners from confinement. Who is imprisoned? Well, I think, first of all, of those who are addicted in some way. Also, all of us, to the extent that we are slaves to our sins, slaves to our baser appetites. We are prisoners to those things. If we go out into the world, we bear the fragrance of the Redeemer. If we go out as those who are free, who have the freedom to control ourselves, our decisions and our appetites, to do what we know is for the best, not to be imprisoned by our faults, by our sins, by our appetites. And finally, the prophecy says, to bring out from the dungeon those who live in darkness. A lot of those among whom we live seem, at least from the outside, to have a very grim existence. To go through life with the feeling that they are serving a prison sentence without much hope, without much sense of purpose, that what we do in this world has a great meaning, has a great value, and of course, according to our faith, an eternal value, an eternal consequence, for good or for ill. To go out into the world as one who's been freed from the dungeon is to go out as one who has been freed from the drudgery of life that so many experience, to see the promise of each day, the gift of each day, the value and even the eternal value of the good that we can do on any day, to live in a spirit of joy, a spirit of gratitude, that life is a gift, that the Lord has been very good to us, in the consolation that he knows me, he cares what I do, that what I do for his glory and for the good of others is of eternal value before him. So that's what we want to do. As baptized persons, we have been given a new identity as a true brother or sister of the Lord Jesus. We have been anointed with the Holy Spirit through the sacrament of baptism. That Holy Spirit has been sent to dwell in our souls. We want to go into the world giving forth the aroma of the Savior, the odor of sanctity, by living as those whose eyes have been opened, who have been freed from imprisonment and from the dungeon. As we offer the Eucharist today, we give thanks to the Lord for the gift of the sacrament of baptism, by which we have come to share in his identity that was made manifest today. We ask the Lord to help us grow in that identity and to live as those who bear his likeness to the world.